What is today is an old friend. I haven't seen him in years. Governor Rod Blagojevich. And I finally could say your name right, Rod. And he was the governor of Illinois. He ran into a problem. But he's back. And he likes politics. He loves politics. He might go back into politics. Rod, good to hear from you again. You were governor of Illinois for 8 years. What's going on in politics today? It seems like your old friend Barack Obama, President Obama, is now out to get President Biden, or it looks like that at least. What say you?
I say that, don't believe what you're seeing, because I think that's exactly what's happening. I think President Obama is working behind the scenes, using his influence, which is very substantial and significant in the Democratic Party, with constituency groups in the Democratic Party that have a tremendous amount of influence, like movie stars and people like George Clooney. And I think he's doing what he can to encourage President Biden to get out of the race, because the Democrats are very afraid that Trump is going to beat Biden, and they feel like they have a better chance of winning if Biden isn't there. So, no, I think that's what's happening. You know, Harry Truman used to say, one of the great Democrat presidents, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. And this is just another example of how cutthroat and politics is, and how backstabbing is oftentimes the rule, not the exception.
I think Bill Clinton said that too. And
he certainly had his share of enemies, as we all have.
And absolutely.
Politics and frankly, John, anybody who really works to get things done is going to inevitably stir up some opposition and make some enemies. So it's kind of goes along with the territory.
Now, you got in trouble back in 2010, in that period of time, where they said that you were getting influenced to pick the next U.S. senator. That's 15 years ago, 14 years ago, and you got a sentence that I thought was way, way, way too hard for the crime.
I'll tell you this, John, it was way too harsh for the non-crime, because I didn't break a law, cross a line, or take a penny. It was all routine political talk that began with President-elect Obama on election night in early November 2008. It was a historic night. It was a magical night in Chicago. I was the first governor in America. I was a Democrat governor to endorse Obama. He and I came up in politics in Chicago at the same time, mid-1990s, and we both kind of went up pretty fast. I became governor. He became the senator 2 years later, and then he became president-elect, and he sent an emissary to me, a union boss who was friendly to both of us, that night to ask if he could call me and meet with me and talk about a political deal in exchange for the appointment of a Senate candidate that he wanted. There was nothing illegal on Obama's part, and there was nothing illegal on my part. But he went to the White House for 8 years, and I went to the big house for 8 years, John. And I went from being governor of Illinois to inmate number 408-92424. Needless to say, it's way better being governor. But I didn't do it. I would never give in. And that sentence you refer to is a product of the fact that I fought back. And what they did to me was the beginning of what they're doing to President Trump. And they did this to a Democrat governor. And I think they learned from what they did and what they got away with, weaponizing prosecutors, criminalizing things that are legal and routine in politics. I was accused of trying to attempt to sell President-elect Obama's Senate seat. What a lie. Eventually, the appellate court reversed it. Still, people don't know that, but they reversed it because it was routine political log rolling. That's what they called it. And if I was guilty of trying to sell a Senate seat, Obama was guilty of trying to buy one. But he wasn't. It was politics. And I wouldn't give in. I fought back. And then, you know, they did what they did and condemn me there for 14 years. And who'd have thought, John, a Republican president, Donald Trump, God bless him, would reach in to rescue me, a Democrat governor, restore my freedom, and reunite with my two daughters and my wife, Patty. I spent 2,896 days in prison, 1 month short of 8 years. And I owe President Trump a lot on a personal level, and I very much support him as a Democrat for Trump. I call myself a Trumpocrat because I believe his new Republican Party is the party that now stands for and fights for the average working person in America.
Now, why did this happen? I mean, because you didn't want to go along who they wanted you to appoint for president, for Senate?
No, I don't think it was that at all. I think it was, at the time, these were Bush-appointed, Bush-Cheney-appointed prosecutors. These were Republican U.S. attorneys.
Yeah.
And I was a Democrat governor. I believe what they wanted me to do was to flip on Obama. I think they wanted me to say that, yeah, I was trying to sell a Senate seat that he was trying to buy. That's my belief. But again, as I said, Obama did nothing wrong. He sent someone to me to make a political deal. And I talked about political deals, nothing.
Then
you know,
why didn't President Obama pardon you?
I think what happened was he made a deal with those people right after I was elected. I mean, he was elected, I should say, and I was arrested on December the 9th, 2008, at 6 o'clock in the morning at my home, a sitting governor being arrested with SWAT teams around my house. It was a super sensational event with a super sensational press conference to create a political dynamic that was impossible to fight against. I think what they did was they created such a storm, international storm at the time, that Obama was politically in a very hard spot. And as I said, you know, you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. Obama protected himself politically. I think he made a deal with them, and the deal basically was he would leave them as U.S. attorneys because, as a practice, the new president removes the U.S. attorneys of the other party and puts U.S. attorneys of his party into office. So he allowed them to stay. And I think they told him they would leave him alone as long as he stayed and kept away from doing anything to help me. And so I was, you know, fighting pretty much that battle all by myself. It was very lonely. It was very hard. But I fought back because they're corrupt, because I was elected by the people twice in Illinois. And these people are making fake crimes that don't exist, calling things that are legal crimes, and undoing the will of the people and hijacking governors from office. Exactly the thing that's being done to Trump by the Democrats is what was done to me by these Republican Bush-appointed Cheney-type Republican prosecutors. So I think Obama protected himself politically, and that's why he just did nothing to help. And as I said, you know, Donald Trump's a very different kind of person. He's not a typical politician where he's only looking at the political benefit of things or the potential political pushback. He actually tries to help people or do things that go against the grain of the establishment. And what he did for me, he did nothing to help him at all. He just saw something that he thought was wrong, and he was very kind about it. And as I said, I'll always be grateful. But
did you apply for a pardon? How did President Trump find out about your situation?
Well, John, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And I truly believe I came home on a miracle. After 8 years, I've been home 4 years, but had President Trump not intervened, I would have still been in prison until the end of May 2024. So he gave me 4 years back that I otherwise wouldn't have. And I'll tell you why I think it happened. I'm out of work. I was like the only honest guy in Illinois politics who didn't get rich in the business. And so I have no income, and no one will touch you when you have this sort of thing on you. That's understandable. You're like a leper, and you can't work because of the controversy as you get ready to go to trial. And they tried me twice, by the way. They didn't convict me on their fake charges the first time, so they tried me a second time. In any event, Trump saw me on the David Letterman show or something, and he liked the fact that I was fighting back the way I was, and so he invites me on Celebrity Apprentice. You're too busy. You're too busy being successful. You never watched that show. Either did I when I was governor. But suddenly I have a way where I can earn some income for my family while I'm in that dark period and do his television show. And he was so kind to me and so good to me. And this was in October of 2009 that we taped it. Never in my wildest dreams, John, could I imagine that he's ever going to go into politics, much less be president of the United States. I mean, Donald Trump had a great life. He was, you know, very successful, like you, in business. And his case, he was very popular. His show was like the number one rated show, you know, and he had all those other qualities and beautiful models that he dates and beautiful model that he married and all of those things. Why would he want to complicate his life by going into politics? So it never crossed my mind. But, you know, he properly fired me on that show and then, again, miraculously freed me years later. So he knew me a little bit. And he told me he thought I was getting screwed from the beginning. He thought it was all politics, and he was right. And he did say that he liked the fact that I fought back the way I did. And I have to say there's parallels. You know, I'm sort of like a, you know, junior version of Trump. I mean, he fights back the way I did on a much higher, in a much bigger stage. And what they're doing to him on that much bigger stage is, as I said, what they did to me. No crimes on Trump. No crimes on me. Just partisan political hits by weaponized prosecutors. And here's the big question for every American, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, put your love of country above your political party and vote in this election to stop this weaponization of prosecutions, because they're destroying the rule of law and the Constitution. And this is the politics of Russia and the Soviet Union and banana republics. This is not the politics of what Abraham Lincoln said was the last best hope on earth, the right of the people to choose their leaders in elections that are free and fair.
Well, Governor, that's some story, and I'm glad you're free, and I'm glad you're able to be in a free country where you can tell your story. And I pray for you, and I'm glad you're out, and whatever we can do to help you, let us know.
I appreciate that, John. Congratulations to you on your great success. America is the greatest country in the world. It wasn't my country that did it to me and my family. It was my government and some bad people in the government. But I'm blessed, and I'm so grateful for the blessings that I have. And I'm writing a book about my experiences in prison because I was a governor. Think about this, John. I went from being the governor of the fifth largest state in America. And my story starts with Obama, one president, ends with another president, Trump. And in the book, I write mostly about my time in prison with Crips and Bloods and gangster disciples and Sinaloa cartel drug dealers who look up to El Chapo, the way my young daughters look up to Taylor Swift. There were murders in that prison that I was in. I went from a 50,000 square foot governor's mansion to a 6-foot by 8-foot prison cell. They were squeezing me and pressuring me to say I did something wrong when I didn't. And had I simply given in, that journey would have been a lot less long and would have been a lot easier. But there's no way I would have. Because those people are corrupt, and they have to be stopped because they're taking away our freedoms.
Well, Governor Rod Blagojevich, I said it right. Thank you
yes,
so
you
much
did.
for coming on, and look forward to talking to you about politics in the future.
Thank you, John. God bless you.
God bless.
Roger Stone here for Colonial Metals Group. Colonial Metals Group helps Americans protect their future with the most trusted store of wealth in human history. That's actual physical gold and silver. If you're retiring or you're retired, go to colonialmetalsgroup.com/stone right now for your free Roger Stone Colonial Metals Group Retirement Protection Kit. Or call 800-747-6589. That's 800-747-6589. Call now to receive your free home safe and up to $75 in free silver.